Sounds pretty good. Okay, guys, so welcome to another podcast. I do appreciate it has been, I don't know if a single apology or any form of apology would, change the fact that I haven't uploaded a podcast in I do not know how long. Obviously, there's been a lot of moving parts, you could probably say. This podcast was set up 2020, do we say? No, what am I talking about? I think it was set up in like 2018, around about that Houston Marathon. And then it really followed that entire journey, you know, towards the Olympics, trying to qualify, trying to make the Olympics, that whole process, some of the, you know, mental health struggles or good days, bad days that, you know, came about during that path trying to make the Olympics. And I suppose just like anything in life, things develop and move and reshape, and you know, here we are. I tried to do some podcasts, I suppose you could say, which were geared at trying to basically kill too many birds with one stone. You're not allowed to say that anymore. I'm now going to get distracted, but you legit are not allowed to say that anymore. There was a Stanford article that said you're not allowed to say that anymore. The article was going through, I guess, what we're allowed to say in the world nowadays and what we're not allowed to say, but I've gone completely off topic. There was a lot of moving parts where I was trying probably to bite off more than I can chew. I was trying to podcast while also video podcasting. That essentially just would allow me, like I said, to cover two bases, but it didn't work as well because when I always did the podcast, it was so, it's not like I can't be honest speaking to a camera, but it's just different. When your face pointed to a camera, you're not going to speak the way that you might if it's just, you know, I used to just use my AirPods. I used to just clip in and chat. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I probably waffled quite a bit, but I guess that was the joy and beauty of the podcast. Then you dive into the world of YouTube and online education and stuff like this. And what tends to happen is this standard of probably what was expected, whether it was just coming from me, had just changed, okay? So I think the podcast slowed down, A, because there was so many moving parts, trying to do YouTube, trying to combine podcasts with YouTube, trying to work on all the school stuff. And what ends up happening is nothing gets done. Gone are the days where I just went for a run and was very naive to all this and honestly recorded with my AirPods in, no matter what the wind was doing, nothing. While quality of podcast in terms of sound quality was lower, the fact that I was uploading was what was the best part. So poor shit quality sound still trumps not uploading at all, right? So that's kind of the be all and end all. I'm pretty sure when I started the last podcast episode, that's exactly what I talked about, was trying to get back to just podcasting and not trying to make it this amazing thing or amazing setup or the best sound quality ever and just talking, okay? So lots of moving parts. Let's get people caught up and up to date, I suppose you could say. Things are going pretty good. I'm currently in St. Moritz. I have to say, I think things are actually going really good, but the more you know, the more harmful, I suppose, it can be sometimes. So the more you know, as in you can't get too excited because you understand what it takes to achieve a big result. But at the same time, the situation that I'm in right now is well worth celebrating. That's what I would say. So I'm in a really good place. The reason I'm in that really good place is from January of this year, I almost started not marathon training from January this year, but I started the process of getting ready to be in a position where I could start marathon training. So that has been happening since January. That trying to develop, for today we'll just call it fitness, essentially just trying to develop the speed I can run while putting in the least effort. That's the simplest way that I could describe it today. So the purpose was to just get in a really good spot so that come June, July, I could start making probably decisions around which marathon to train for, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to go back to Berlin because, you know, let's be honest, I had a poor day at Berlin last year and I'd really like to go back there, but in a position to run well. So last year I was trialing ADHD medication. I had just ran the Commonwealth Games. I got COVID, you know, late in the buildup with like 2 weeks to go. There was a lot going on. There was periods of good training, but I wasn't really following a good schedule. So when I look back, it's kind of like, yeah, there was some parts of that were nice, but it was a mess. Since January this year, it's been, what I would say is it's just been very clean and tidy. Clean and tidy is exactly what you want. You want simple, good training that builds and builds in this patient and nice progressive way. And hopefully that leads you to be in a position where 6 or 8 weeks out from a big race, you can put on the final touches. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk more on the podcast, or I'm going to, about what I'm... This is obscene, I think is the word, but it is crazy how much my knowledge of training has probably evolved and changed and developed even in the last like month, learning from what I've seen other people doing, learning from reading, you know, different books, different literatures. I'm almost obsessed again with the developments in physiology that's being made in Ironman and triathlon and cycling. Obviously the Tour de France is on right now. It has really got me looking into, you know, what are these athletes doing? The best cyclists, I know where everybody's brain was going to go right at that moment, but not just the what we speculate they might be doing, but also just what training. These are still phenomenally well-developed athletes in terms of physiology. So I think the coaches within these sports, naturally, they're probably paid way more. They're very, very smart. The physiologists are the driving force of that intelligence. So I'm learning. I actually just did a video on YouTube about overtraining. The reason I did that video is because nothing with me is random. I likely understood that I have been overtraining, and it's not so much overtraining in terms of like, you're running too much, Stephen. I'm just taking my psychological problems in life that I can't be patient, I can't sit still, I have ADHD, and it's becoming obvious in the training when I'm not allowing enough recovery days between intense days. So I think not long ago, I did a threshold session Saturday, I did a threshold session Sunday, I did a hard track session on the Tuesday with the Australian guys, I did a session with Mark Kirk's group on the Thursday back in Belfast, and then I did another session by myself on the Saturday. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 sessions in 7 days. It's no wonder on that 7th day, I'm doing that session at the Mary Peters track. My lactate should likely have been 4.5 or 5, which it then was 10 days later in a similar session, similar speed, similar intensity, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, I think my lactate was like 8, and it's because I'd done 5 sessions in 7 days. Now, that in itself is going to sound like, well, Stephen, that's ridiculous. But the more I'm learning, I actually probably should have done like 2 and maybe 3. So I'm learning more about how much recovery time it takes after a given effort, whether it's threshold, whether it's, you know, above threshold, maybe it's easier than threshold. I'm learning more about the impact of if you do a certain type of session. There's what I've learned is we train to improve fitness, right? think of fitness as the size of, I love the sponge analogy, so I'm always going to come back to the sponge analogy. You dip a sponge in water, when it fills up, you cannot possibly get more water into the sponge, right? And then you have to drain it. And essentially, you want your sponge every time you drain it to get bigger so it can absorb more water, which is more fitness. But if it's still full and it can't absorb more water, well, you can't absorb the session that you were going to do. What I didn't realize that I'm just bloody figuring out that pisses me off, I didn't realize that you can shrink your sponge. How fucking annoying is that? So little did I know that when you basically be greedy and you have a lack of patience and a lack of discipline, I didn't realize that not only do you not get the benefit of that session, which is fair, it's as if you went to a petrol station, your car was already full with petrol. And so as you're pouring in the petrol, it's just leaking, right? It's leaking all over the road, okay? So you lose that petrol. But then what happens is because you were pumping petrol in, some of the petrol that was inside your tank, well, it starts flowing out as well. So not only do you not get what you paid for, you lost part of what you had. So I didn't know that until like last week when I read, there's a swimming physiologist called Jan Olbrich. Now I'm going to have to tell you the name of his book, aren't I? Let me get that up just because I know your brains are going to think, well, what bloody book do we all need to start reading? It's a heavy book, right? So that's the first thing I'm going to tell you. This book is heavy. It makes for heavy reading. So you need to be into your physiology and your lactates and all that kind of good stuff before you even think about buying this book. It's called The Science of Winning, Planning, Periodizing, and Optimizing Swim Training. I know what you're going to think. I don't swim. Maybe you do. It's not about swimming. It's relevant to all sports. It is about swimming. It's relevant to all sports. So little did I know, when you overtrain, so you do a session, that session then takes a little bit of time to recover, and then maybe you rush into another session. If you weren't ready to absorb it, you lose the benefits of that session, hypothetically. You can't measure whether you gained it all or you didn't, but think about it. If you're going to put £50 on a stock and you're told that if you wait to Friday, you have the best chance of winning, well, you wait to Friday. Most of us don't. Most of us just rush into it and probably go Wednesday or Thursday and then lose. But that's dealing with your psychology. That's different. That's not logic. That's the emotion part. So here's probably the kicker in all this is overtraining is rushing those days back to back. Overtraining for me can be overworking a certain intensity that takes away. So back to the sponge analogy, excuse my burp. You have a sponge, you're trying to fill it up, you want it to grow, you want it to get bigger, that's your fitness. Once you grow this sponge, right, it's fucking huge, let's say. This is a big fucker. Anyway, oh, my battery and my headset's gone off. That sucks. Anyway, so what then happens is sponge is full of water, but in order to use that sponge, in order to utilize it essentially, which means I've built all this fitness, that's awesome. Now what I want to happen is I want to be able to use that fitness. So that's different. I'm plugging in my headphones, so you have to bear with me. Anyway, now what you want to be able to do is utilize your fitness, okay? So part of what you're building is the sponge, the size of your sponge, how fit you are. The next part of all this is, now that I've built this big fitness, this big sponge, I want to be able to use it. This is something that none of us, until probably you listen to this podcast right now, or maybe you're just a lot smarter than I am and you already knew this, okay? If you already knew this, that's awesome. What happens next is, it's not natural or a given. I like that word. It's not a given that now that you've built this fitness, you've done all this hard work, it's not a given that you're now going to be able to utilize that fitness on race day and run really well. That's the part that gets really interesting, because it's like, why not? That's not fair. So what the next part of training is called is probably like, think of it as just specific training. In this book and in life, it's actually called aerobic power or anaerobic power. These sessions are the harder sessions that we do, hopefully, to get ready for a race, okay? Think of it as, I'm going to do 5 weeks of training, I'm going to build a really good sponge, really good fitness, and then my race is 4 weeks away, so I'm going to do 2 or 3 harder sessions to prepare for the race. Power. If they're good sessions, well, then they're going to prepare you for the race. What's happening in your physiology is these sessions are giving you the opportunity to use the fitness you've built. If you don't do these sessions, it doesn't mean you can't race well or okay, but you can't extract the full fitness out of the sponge. You can't drain it as much as you should be able to on race day. On race day, you want to be able to extract everything out of the body. So what happens is when you do these aerobic power or anaerobic power sessions, and the reason you're doing them is so that you can use the fitness that you've built. But by doing these sessions, it takes away from the size of your sponge, okay? How much fitness you have. So think of this as a pulley system. As you grow one, you need to do the other in order to be able to utilize it on race day. So you've grown your sponge. You must do the aerobic power or the anaerobic power, or else you won't be able to use that sponge and fitness on race day. But the more of the system on the right, as in the aerobic power or the anaerobic power, the more of that that you do, you're taken away from the size of your sponge. This might not make sense to you yet, but what you have to figure out is how many of those harder sessions, those aerobic power days, that anaerobic power days, how many of those you have to do to be ready to race. The least amount possible to be better ready to race. If you do too many, you take away from your fitness. If you don't do enough, you can't race well on race day or to your maximum potential. It's a balance. It's a fucking chemical balance. It is crazy. That has all been quite new. And then when I look back at, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but in 20, before Rotterdam, I did a lot of the threshold stuff. I sort of carbon copied the Ingebrigtsens and was doing this double threshold and all this kind of stuff. It built an amazing sponge. It was huge. But when I first went to England and jumped in some training with my buddy Jack Rowe and Dan Jarvis, I couldn't use the fitness yet. So we did 2 harder sessions, you could say. And suddenly on week 3, we go and we do, I think, a 7-mile, we're going to call it threshold, but it wasn't, it was harder. We go and do that threshold. And all of a sudden, I'm licking my lips thinking, yes. What happened in those 3 weeks, I thought was, yes, I nudged that fitness forward. I did those harder tempos. That really must push my fitness forward. Wrong. What happened was I got aerobic power to a better place, which meant I could utilize the fitness that I had built. I wasn't running at the same heart rate and suddenly I was faster. I was running at a heart rate probably 7 or 8 beats higher, but my rate of perceived exertion had gone down, as in it felt easier, and it was all bells and whistles. It was awesome. I'm learning a lot. But that's where we're at. So I'm learning to be better and more disciplined with how many recovery days I need. The fitness is in a fucking excellent place. I cannot stress that enough. It's exciting. It's fun. That's from a very patient and thorough buildup. I'm learning the slower you build really good fitness, the more consistent it is and the longer it will hang around for. I think in London when I ran, 209 and in the half marathon when I ran 6108, I think I built that fitness so quickly that it departed quickly. The physiology changes that happened quickly, and I went from running not amazingly to super to suddenly 2-3 weeks after London, I'm back to not amazing. And probably for the previous 2 years. So it's been fun learning all this. It's been exciting being being back in a position where I actually enjoy reading and learning about running to help myself and to help others. Of course, I set up the whole jogging room, which you know has been amazing. I've been doing more on YouTube, which very, very time consuming. I'm doing my best to just try to... The other day I had a call with a sports psychologist. I actually started speaking to my psychiatrist as well again. This is quite sad, but I recognized that the more popular I got amongst many, as in more followers, call it that, on different social platforms, the further away I got from the people close to me, because you're just working all the time. That's fine. It's not fine, but it is what it is. The next part of it is, I said to the sports psychologist, I said, I'm doing all this as a, you know, I'm trying to make the Olympics, Paris. But I was like, I need to start thinking, am I acting like an athlete that will go on and make the Olympics? And that was big. That was, would an athlete that's going to make the Olympics, you know, they'd probably nap in the afternoon. And you're working, you're editing videos, or worse, you're doing a training session, and instead of going home and focusing on recovery, you're out there filming more stuff. And it's like, what do you want to be? Do you want to be the best athlete you can be? Or do you want to be the influencer? I don't want to be the influencer. I can eventually. I don't mind being the influencer if it works within the world of training. To be honest, I should have bloody just hired someone to do videos and edit, and I just go and do the training, and they come and they video and they go home and they ask me a few questions and life moves on. It probably became quite a heavy load, not psychologically, just literally a lot of work, a lot of edits, a lot of website stuff. I'm currently building an app, which is awesome, but you know, it's just a lot of moving parts. So ask yourself, if you're trying to achieve something, are you behaving like the person or the character? What role would they play in that? How would they behave? If you're trying to run a big personal best, or you're trying to achieve something you've never achieved before at work or in life, are you behaving the way that the person that would likely go on to achieve that would behave? It's a really simple way of looking at all this, thinking about all this. So have a little think about that. I can't answer for you. I don't know if you are or you're not. But yeah, that's where we've got to. So that all said, it's amazing that the fitness has got to where it's got. You know, it's well earned. It's literally been since January. I don't think there's been, apart from that sinus infection and Flagstaff, I talk like you knew about it, but I knew about it. It sucked. Apart from that little sinus infection, there's really been not much disruption to training or anything like that. It's just been solid weeks. If I was to really go through the training with a fine tooth comb, and you should do this yourself, and you went back through your last few weeks and you started thinking about the sponge, and you started thinking about, did you allow enough recovery days? And you started thinking, was I taken away from my fitness because I wasn't patient enough? It would be really interesting to see, could I actually be in a better place right now? My fitness be in a better place because maybe instead of doing 5 sessions in 7 days, I did 3. And that's called supercompensation. And if you allow the recovery time, you can watch the video on YouTube. If you allow that recovery time, you actually end up in a better place. If you don't allow the recovery time, you risk losing the benefits of the first session and the second session. So look, things are in a good spot. The million-dollar question is, you know, Scully, are you racing? I haven't not raced because there's this, like, fear of racing, you could say. But I made my goals very clear. I'll tell you right now, I'm doing Antrim Half Marathon and I'm doing Berlin Marathon. At Antrim Half Marathon, I want to run 61 minutes something for the half marathon or quicker. At Berlin Marathon, I want to run sub 210 for a marathon, hopefully quicker, down to 208. It's that simple. If other races can help that process, well, then they exist. If other races cannot help that process, they don't exist. there's other races that I really want to do. My track stuff has been going, oh, it's annoying that it's been going well. That means that there's been this sort of like, I've been drawn towards like track. Maybe I should do track. Maybe I should do this race. Maybe I should do that race. But the bottom line is, if there's a risk of doing anything in the next 12 weeks, it will not exist. So I'm trying to make some decisions about a race soon. There's 5Ks, there's 10Ks, there's Irish Senior Champs, there's Morton Games 5K. They're amazing races. Trust me when I say I really want to do them, but I'm in torment over the decision-making process because there's always risks to racing, whether it's travel and illness and injuries and overworking muscles. You run a big PB, I genuinely believe, and I might eat my own words, but if I do Morton Games and I can run 1320 something or around 1330 for 5K, with the way sessions have gone, there's no reason I shouldn't. You don't know the damage to the calves, to the body, to the muscles that stems from that. I ran 6108 in 2021, was it 2020, for the half. It's not free. I was sore for almost like 2-3 weeks. The more you can extract out of your body on race day, the more beat up you are and sore you are post-race. It's that simple. When I'd be beat up and sore is when most people would be getting stuck into their full marathon weeks and really getting stuck into training. You can't race anymore on the track in flats. That would have been perfect. If I could run a really solid race in a pair of flats, I'd probably recover a bit quicker. Not a big deal. I'm going to park that because I don't know yet. But I appreciate that all this training and all this talk of good fitness, you people want to see your race. I'm indifferent. I don't mind when I race. They're going to come thick and fast. If I don't run 208.10 at Berlin, or it doesn't look like I can run 208.10 at Berlin, as in I go to Antrim Half Marathon and I run 62.10, which is, that's fine. That's where the physiology is. That's where your fitness is. You've done everything you can. Well, I'm probably not going to run 208.10 at Berlin. So then all of a sudden you might run 210 at Berlin and you might try to go to Dublin Marathon and run 210 again, which would qualify you for the Olympics via points. There's a lot coming soon. So I need to be patient. Everybody else that's following along, there's a patience there. And think about that yourself. Are the races you're doing, are the decisions you're making, do they help the big goal? Could they potentially hinder the big goal? And sometimes it's tougher to make those big decisions to sacrifice something in the short term for a bigger payoff in the long term. But I'm going to leave you with that. I'm so glad that I, you know, jumped in here and got the podcast rolling again. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, if your ears are burning and you didn't, I'm sorry. If you haven't checked out any of the running stuff at joggingroom.com, do. The reason the app's getting sorted is just to try to make life easier. I built all this last October, November. I've got better at videoing and editing and better equipment, you could probably say. And so I'm trying to go back through and realize that not everybody has 15 to 20 minutes to watch warm-up routines and activation routines and foam rolling videos. And I'm going to try break everything up into, you know, each exercise individually or 5 exercises to do before you do a session. And then they're in little 20 to 30 second clips and less 20 minutes. But I ramble. So look, you can check that out. But otherwise, you know, have a great day. Thanks for listening. Happy running. Take care.